This is continuing live courtroom coverage of the Take Care of Maya trial from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
So Juror Levity, we really appreciate the note. That was perfect.
I'll do better next time.
I think the jury wants to hear the question.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Mr. Anderson and Mr. Whitney, in the future, when assuming the role of different people, may you please use unique and different voices and project your voice out into the audience so we have a better experience. Wigs may also help. Signed by A Little Levity. I appreciate that. Now, let's turn back to the other notes that also got, that were not signed by A Little Levity. I'm just going to not physically read the notes, but just remind the jurors that there's still a lot of evidence and testimony that is coming over the next few weeks, and it's going to be up to the jury at the conclusion of hearing all of the evidence from all of the witnesses to determine what the facts are. So, with that, were we good with our stretch break? Because we still have lots to do today. Or does anyone need to take a further break? Okay, 5 minutes, no more than 5 minutes, okay? So do not discuss this case amongst yourselves. Do not do any investigation and receive no information. And let's try to keep this to 5 minutes.
All right.
Members of the jury, I just want to confirm while you're away, you did not discuss this case amongst yourselves. You did no investigation and you received no information. Is that all correct? No one approached you, correct? Didn't see any media. Okay. Mr. Anderson, please call your next witness.
Kyle Kowalski.
I do.
State your name.
Mr. Anderson, before we start, just I don't want to interrupt him, but can we just have identified what Kyle has on the witness stand?
Oh, yes. I was going to have him identify as part of the testimony. I had him do some notes as to a particular lineup of hours.
As Mr. Garcia?
Yeah, I've got here.
Thank you, sir. I have this copy.
Yes, you sure can. And I've got one for each, but then I'll need to, at some point, make a copy. Please state your name.
Kyle Kowalski.
And you remember being back up here before?
Yes.
And you remember, much to your chagrin, I told you might have to come back for a little discussion of damages?
Yes.
Just relax and tell the jury what you think. All right. Now, Kyle, there are some sections I think the jury will hear about in terms of areas of damages, and I want you to express those to the jury a little bit. First, as to mental anguish, can you tell the jury a little bit about what it's been like with the separation from you had with Maya?
Yeah, so Maya, the whole family struggled extremely with the separation of Maya, but I only can speak for myself. The day Maya was taken away, I was...
Your Honor, I sincerely apologize. I have to approach on this briefly.
Anderson will rephrase.
During the specific times we're talking about when Maya...
We have a real problem hearing, Judge. That's right.
I'm having a problem hearing both you and the witness.
Oh. Test? Is that better?
Mr. Kalkowski, can you just pull that microphone a little bit closer to you?
Yep.
There we go.
I don't have a wig, but I'll try my best. Kyle, for the time that Maya was away that first week and then the time during her period when she was in the room being videoed and the other time being held down, can you tell us whether those periods of time caused you any separation anxiety from your sister?
Same objection.
Overruled as to that.
Yes, so my sister and I were very close, and then being without her for like a long time and not knowing why she was gone, I wanted answers, so I was very confused. And I would ask my parents like why she was gone when we would see her, and they would really have no answers. And I was extremely sad I didn't have Maya, and I had no one to do stuff anymore with, and I was just very sad.
All right. What other emotions did you experience under that caused you mental anguish?
I was very depressed. I didn't feel like doing anything. I felt like I just didn't have the energy to do anything without Maya, and I wanted answers. And I was witnessing the whole family fall apart, and I was devastated.
And did that cause you some confusion as to why Maya was away?
Absolutely. At this point, I was asking myself so many questions, and I was just extremely confused.
Now, I want to keep it to the mental anguish, and then we'll get to loss of capacity to enjoy life type things. But,
Your Honor, just very briefly approaching.
You can continue, Mr. Anderson.
Yes. Having talked about that, I want to talk a little bit about what it's been like without your mom.
I'm sorry, Judge, please go. I'm having a hard time hearing Mr.
We've
Anderson,
got assistant listening devices we can give to you.
I can't hear him. I can't hear him either.
I'm having trouble as well.
I think it's the rain.
1, 2, 3, can you hear me? Mr. Anderson, talk into your microphone.
Test, test, test.
Kyle Kwaska, can you talk into your...
Test, test, test.
A little bit closer, Kyle.
The gallery was having the same concerns.
I think that was...
Well, let's try to get that microphone a little bit closer. Maybe, Debbie Coley, if you could bend it so it's a little bit higher.
Test.
Yeah, I've got it on as loud as this system will have it. Okay, you may continue.
May I please the court. Kyle, I think we were talking before about what it's like without your mom around. Do you still hear her voice?
Yes, very much so. Every single day there's reminders of her, and both good and bad. And it's impossible to escape the bad reminders of her.
Do your friends ask you about this, about why you just have a dad?
Yeah, there's multiple occurrences, unfortunately, where as a new friend I only hung out with a little bit, I go out to eat and their parents are there. And their mom's Polish as well, and they were talking about her family. I said, "We're Polish," and they're like, "Oh, I'd love to meet your mom." And then I have to say what happened.
Staying on that topic, how's your Polish doing without your mom?
Unfortunately, it's not the best. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things that was lost with her passing.
Right. Okay. And not having her around, has this changed your tolerance, I guess, for dealing with some things?
I'm confused what you mean by that.
Sure. Does it make you angry a lot of times just being reminded of things or knowing?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely, yes.
Any particular circumstances that where you get angry where you used to not?
I tend to get angry at like little things, mm-hmm. that just super stupid things, but
didn't bug you before?
Yeah.
Okay. And then have you had difficulty with like things, doing things that you used to do with your mom that you don't either want to do or it's not quite the same? Tell us about some.
Yeah, so one of those things would be piano. From a young age, my mom started Maya and I both on piano, and at first she taught us, and then as Maya and I progressed in skill, we eventually got a piano teacher, and we kept progressing, and then after her death, it's just Maya and I, it's too hard on us to do.
You're not playing anymore?
Not anymore, no.
When was the last time you played? Anything?
Probably an actual song, probably over a year.
How often did you play before that?
Piano lessons were every week, and then I would play every single day.
Did you enjoy it?
I did enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. All right. And how about things like just getting school clothes?
Yeah, that's another thing. I have multiple memories with my mom. Every year before school started, I was like her big thing. She would take me shopping either to like the outlet malls or the main mall in Sarasota. And I just remember her and I go into every store. We spent a lot of time there. It was like the main shopping thing for like the start of the year. We spent a lot of time there. And then we would go shop and then get ice cream afterwards. And it would just be a good time.
And you miss that now. Who goes with you now?
I just do shopping online now.
No more going out?
Yeah.
Would that be a regular thing, going out with your mom to try to get you into new clothes? I guess you were growing a lot during mm-hmm. this period.
Well, for school shopping, it was like before every school year, but as time went on, yeah, it became more regular.
Okay. And who's doing the cooking now, and who did do the cooking?
Well, mom did the cooking, and she made a lot of like her traditional foods. So after she died, we haven't had like any of her Polish foods since, and now dad had to take over all the cooking.
I know your dad's trying hard, but was your mom real health conscious in the food she cooked?
Yes, my mom was very health conscious, yes.
Mm-hmm. From a dad's point of view, I know sometimes dads aren't quite as health conscious on things. A lot more ordering out and things like that.
Yes.
All right. You've got a pool in your backyard. Tell us about stuff you do with your mom in the pool.
Yeah, so my mom, like the whole family shared a love for like water, and that's one thing that we all bonded on. And then whenever my mom had free time or we had free time, we'd all just go in the pool. And now if we went in the pool without her, it doesn't feel right and it just feels off.
Is anybody using the pool now?
It still gets used every once in a while, but definitely not how it used to be used.
Not the same feeling?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. All right. What about schoolwork? Was she involved in that for you?
Yeah, there's multiple times where if I had trouble on schoolwork, the first person I would go to would be my mom, because she was very intelligent and understood the material quite very well. Mm-hmm. And now if I have a problem with schoolwork, it's harder to find help. I mainly just have to figure it out myself.
What subjects was your mom good at teaching you?
I remember math was the main one.
Mom was good at math?
Yes.
How about sciences, anything like that?
Yeah, she was very good in all of them. Mm-hmm.
So are there things that still remind you of your mom, just random things when you're going about your life?
Absolutely. I mean, it could be as little as like a perfume scent she used to wear, all the way up to like her favorite food place or something like that.
Are you still going to any of those places, or do you shy away from them now?
It depends on what the place is. There's some places where I would like to go because it's a good reminder of her, but mm-hmm. then there's other places where it doesn't give me too much of a good reminder, so I stay away.
What about your faith? Tell us what your mom used to do there that was important to you that you don't do anymore.
Yeah, so my mom was extremely religious, and Maya, and then she brought Maya and I to public school and church at a young age, so we became very religious. And then at the time of her death, all the way up to the time of death, we were very religious. And then after that, I had many prayers, and it seemed like I wasn't getting answers, and I slowly started losing faith. But now I completely understand, and that all my prayers can't be answered, and now I'm gaining faith back.
Okay. When was the last time you went to church?
That would be a while, because that's another thing. We tried to go back to the same church that we used to go with her, but it just didn't feel right. We were getting weird looks and everything.
Didn't feel like a family group?
Correct.
Right. And what about like injuries or getting sick? Your mom was a nurse, right?
Correct, yeah.
How'd that help you that you don't have anymore?
Can you repeat that question? Sorry.
Sure. Your mom was a nurse. When you used to get sick, when you had your mom, could she take care of you and get you through it?
Yes. Whenever Maya and I got sick, my mom took the absolute best care of us. She did above and beyond to make sure that we were healthy.
Mm-hmm. What about, and I know you were 7 years younger at the time, so what would you have been, how old would you have been when you lost your mom?
I believe around 8.
Uh-huh. And as an 8-year-old, did you enjoy, like, I think you still snuggle and cuddle with mom at 8?
Yes, yeah.
What did you like to do that way?
Yeah, so every night before all this happened, mom and I would, like, watch a movie, and then we would always lay on the couch and snuggle and just watch the movie. And obviously, since her death, that, mm-hmm. that doesn't happen.
Difficult? Mm-hmm. And is it hard to go in that garage?
Absolutely. The whole house is constant reminders. If I just go in the garage to grab something, which a lot of times where I'll just break down, and then go in the kitchen, and it's a reminder of her cooking all her old Polish foods. And then the office where she used to work, that's where I've seen her researching, trying to help Maya.
Are you at home? I know you're a teenager now, so it's a part of this natural, but are you at home as much now, Kyle, as you used to be or want to be better yet?
I'm definitely more at home now. There's times it just feels like I just don't have the energy to do anything. I feel like I'm just like I can't move. Like my friends want to do something, they're calling me, but I just don't even have the energy to pick up the phone to do anything.
Does that have to do with being embarrassed about it or just something kind of physical that you feel?
I don't know how to explain it. That's
mm-hmm. That's all right. That's all right. And did your mom do a lot of things in terms of keeping the family memories? She keep a family Bible or anything like that?
She made baby books for both Maya and I.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm extremely happy she did because I get to look back on all the good memories. But at the same time, I remember that there's going to be no more good memories made with her, so it crushes me at the same time.
Right. And is it hard to look at videos of family events that went on before your mom passed?
Mm-hmm. If I hear her voice, I just start breaking down.
Do y'all do that anymore, or is that something that just doesn't go on anymore?
What, the family events?
No. The watching movies, the videos of family vacations and things like that with your mom in them.
I still look at the baby books with her, but it's hard for me to watch videos with her, like actually moving around and.
Right. What are some of the other things that were kind of not terribly unusual, but just memories for you? How about riding around with your mom in the car?
Ryan, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Riding around in the car with your mom. Did she do anything fun then? Did she?
Yeah, one of the main things that she did in the car was she had like these detective audiobooks.
Mm-hmm.
And now that if I just hear another one of those, it just crushes me hearing them.
Mm-hmm. How's it doing now with, I think, are you still doing pretty well in school?
Yes.
But what, if any, issues are you having about the focus required to think through things?
I definitely like have a lack of focus. There's times where I'm just doing school and then I catch myself just thinking about everything that happened and how much I just miss my mom. And
how many times a day would you think, if you think you think back on that series of events?
I mean, all depends on the day. It could be anywhere from like 5 hours a day to like 7 hours a day.
Mm-hmm. And what's how many in a really good day for you where you don't think of it that much and it doesn't seem to be that as bad as it usually is? How many hours in a good day are you down and truly missing your mom to the point where it's affecting your ability to live?
I would say for not as bad as a day, around 5 hours. At nighttime, that's when it absolutely crushes me. Then I have nothing to do and occupy myself. I just sit there laying about it and I just have to think about everything that mm-hmm. happened.
And then on a bad day, it was how many hours? 5 to 7? How many?
I would say 7 to 8.
Mm-hmm. Now tell the jury, over the course of a week, I know it varies, but how many days of the week out of 7 days are good days on average, and how many are bad days?
It really depends on how occupied I am that week, I would say. But I would say it's pretty even. So 3 and 4, 4 to 3 at all.
Okay. 3 to 4, 4 to 3.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, the support your mom gave you out in the world, can you tell the jury, was she kind of the retiring type where if there was an issue with you, she didn't want to get involved, or was she out in front of issues?
She was definitely like, can you repeat that?
Sure, again? Sure. Was your mom pretty aggressive about defending you in situations?
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
I mean, if a controversy came up at school or wherever.
Yes, most definitely. Mm-hmm.
Have you noticed any changes in the group of friends that you have from, and I know it's a lot of age difference now from 8 to 16, but in terms of the kinds of friends you want to hang out with and the number of friends that you want to hang out with, has it changed for you?
I would say definitely the number of friends. I prefer to hang out with a lesser group of kids.
Okay. And the things that you want to do, I think we went over that, but in terms of going out, now you're 16, you can drive now?
Yes, I could drive.
Okay. So are you a big one for going out with your friends, driving around, or is that something that you don't feel quite like doing anymore?
That I don't feel quite like doing that anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you think about your mom, is there any way to bring yourself out of the state you're in, be it depressed or angry, what you've testified to before?
I would not say there's like an immediate way to get me out of that mental zone of thinking about all the negative things.
Is that part of the problem?
Yeah, that's definitely a problem.
Yeah. Can you tell the jury whether they feed on themselves? Just spiraling?
Yeah, they definitely feed themselves, 100%.
How long have you gone with just not wanting to do much of anything, just sit around, not talking to people, just being, I guess?
I mean, it's been like that for a while. I personally don't like to share my feelings with anyone. I would rather just keep them all to myself and not tell anyone about them.
Okay. All right. And what do you think about the future? Are you very positive about it now? Or, I mean, what's going through your head that way?
What do you mean by future?
Good point. Is it harder to make plans now for you?
Yes, I would say it's difficult to make plans.
Okay. Right. Are you having any physical reactions from this stress? In other words, is your body reacting against it at all?
I tend to have quite a bit headaches, and then I also have a lot of stress-induced itching, and then that's normally around the later hours, which causes my sleep to be not too good.
Well, did you have a lot of itching and headaches before your mom passed?
I never experienced any of that before she passed, no.
How about your stomach? How's that doing?
My stomach, I haven't had any problems with my stomach, really.
Mainly in your head, and where do you itch when you itch?
It's like on my legs.
Okay, all right. And can that be embarrassing as well when the itching comes in public?
Absolutely, yes.
All right. Not having your mom around, has it made you more worried about what would happen if something happened to your dad?
Absolutely. Whenever my dad gets sick, I tend to overthink of what's going to happen, mm-hmm. and I tend to worry.
Yeah, there's a term called catastrophizing, meaning you look at the absolute worst case scenario. Is that what?
That's what
happening
I would say.
To you?
Absolutely, yes.
And do you have a hard time coming out of that, even if your dad gets healthier? Like, it's no longer appears sick.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always extremely worried. There's times.
Have you found yourself being overly cautious about him and for him?
I would say so, too. I think my dad would have some better examples of that, because he'd probably remember more than me, because I'm just normal. Doing what I'm saying, mm-hmm. but then I might strike him as unnormal what I'm saying. So,
right. Did your mom know how to scuba dive?
Yes, she was.
Did you guys ever go scuba dive? You're young. You were 8. Mm-hmm. Was that more with your older sister and dad, or did you ever do that?
Yeah. So Maya and I were not scuba certified at that time, so we were unable to scuba dive.
Okay, that was more with your dad.
Correct.
All right. How about traveling when you want to take vacations and stuff? Have you tried? I mean, have you gone some places?
We've gone a few places, but...
How's it feel?
I mean, it feels like it doesn't... like. I'm trying to think of a word here.
It's all right. Well, without your mom there, and it's just you, your dad, and your sister traveling, how does it feel to you?
It doesn't. The best way I think I could describe it is it doesn't feel complete. That's
sure. Okay. And Kyle, is there any activity in your life now that isn't affected in some way at some time with the loss of your mom?
Yeah, there's a few ways I could get away. But okay.
What do you have left? What's things you can do that maybe can take you away from it a little bit?
One thing that's really helping me right now currently is fishing. That's my main getaway.
You spend a lot of time doing that?
Correct, yes.
Do you like being out away from people and things?
Yes.
Do you see yourself ever coming out of this?
I definitely cannot forget what happened. Absolutely not. There's no way.
Thanks, Kyle.
Yep.
I don't have questions. My condolences to Kyle.
Thank you.
Members of the jury, do any of you have questions for Kyle Kowalski? Okay, seeing none. Sir, you can go ahead and have a seat back at the table.
All right, thank you.
Okay. You're finally done, Kyle. Jack Kowalski.
Okay, thank you, Chair.
You said you swear or affirm testimony you're about to give the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. There you go. So, Jack, you're back. You testified once before. Now we're going to talk a little bit about the general damages, the human damages to this.
Okay.
Before I do, I wanted to ask you one question on the... this is on a different topic. When you arrived at Johns Hopkins, did you understand they would be billing your insurance company for their services?
Yes, that would be correct.
And who was that?
My insurance company at the time?
Yes.
Aetna.
Was that through Beata's?
That was through Beata's, yes.
Work. So you don't have that anymore?
No, I don't.
Okay. And did you rely on Johns Hopkins to accurately and truthfully bill your health insurance company to make sure?
Yes.
And have you had to pay your health insurer from time to time for services rendered at Johns Hopkins?
Until the deductible was met, yes.
Okay. All right. Now, I want to talk a little bit about some different areas of the human damages here, and I'm not sure where they're going to fall in, but tell me a little bit about what it's like having two kids and no mom with them and to help you, and then we'll get into what it's like with no wife. What are the things that are the biggest problems for you?
Well, first of all, if you drove into our community, you would think it's a nice, clean neighborhood. People walking their dogs, people cutting the grass, washing their cars. And there's no way you could drive by without getting a friendly wave. Going in front of our house, you would think it's just a normal, everyday family. Nice, clean yard, nice house. Nice driveway leading up to the front doors, but when you get inside, it's completely different.
What's changed, Jack? I've got two questions. What's changed, and the jury's going to want to know, why are you still there?
Why are we still there? When all this happened, when I got Maya home, I made the decision I wanted to leave, and then I thought, if I leave, I take away, the only thing they have left is their friends. So that's why we stayed. Is it difficult? Yes, it is. We pretty much changed every single room in that house, but the memories bleed through what we've done. Like Kyle was saying about the garage, that was our normal way of coming home, open the garage door, pull the car in, go in the house through the laundry room. That's no longer. We park outside. We go in the front door.
Nobody wants to go through the garage.
No, it's still difficult for myself to go in there. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, where Beata took her life, we do have a little chain with a cross hanging there. And that's difficult to see, but that's the main reason why we stayed was their friends. And my neighborhood is so unique. There's 72 homes, and they're like family. And
that's your support
their love
system.
And support that we received was overwhelming.
Tell the jury about what it's like as a single dad with kids who have been through what your kids have been through.
Number one, I appreciate single moms more than I ever did. I would rather go back to work and fight fires than try to be a mom. There's no comparison. They have a big role And there's no quitting time. You know, they don't punch out on the clock. Trying to do both roles is extremely difficult, and there's parts of that role I will never be able to do.
Sure.
Maya's a young lady. I cannot give her that mom and daughter talks and,
right.
Mom and daughter times together and everything else.
And is she upset by that? Do you see her upset when there are mother-daughter things out there at school or for friends?
Well, there's many times she comes home crying, or I see it at our house. Why is your dad always picking you up? Or where's your mom? And then they have to explain. And
hard for kids to.
It's extremely hard.
And so I wondered, in your relationship, it seemed like Beata took the lead in, like husband and wives. Some people do one part and some people do the other. What were the things that Beata did for you and the family that you have such a hard time fulfilling?
Well, hate to say this, I was like the janitor of the house. You know, I took care of the maintenance, I took care of the yard, things like that. Beata was more on the children's education, extra activities for them, the food that they ate, and vacations. And when she planned a vacation, it wasn't just a vacation. She made it where you're going to enjoy and learn history of where you're going.
And what about in terms of being able to go on vacations now without Beata there?
It's difficult. We tried to do a cruise, and then COVID hit, and we're one day away from going, so we didn't get to go to that. But we try, and like Kyle said, there's so much of a void. It's difficult.
And Beata had a set of skills there that had to be pretty useful in the family.
Yes. Oh. Cooking.
Pretty good cook.
Yeah.
Did you like Polish food?
I mean,
did. It is Kowalski,
yes.
Right?
Yes. Kowalskis, pierogies, you name it. But.
And did she feed the children pretty healthy? I mean, we heard on the audio tape of the phone calls her concerns, but.
Yes, very healthy. And you'd be surprised. I don't think they even tried a hamburger in their whole life yet. So
that's amazing.
That's not a lie.
That's amazing. And so then whenever there was a medical issue, who took the lead? You've got some medical training, don't you?
I do, but nothing compared to that. And there's nothing better than mom.
Right.
You know.
Right. So was she able to treat most basic childhood illnesses, the colds,
yes,
the
and
flus.
Speaking of that, now when something happens, it's terrifying. You know, just knowing what we went through, you just cannot get in your car and go to the emergency room. There's fear, and that fear is always there. Maya was playing football with Kyle and a neighbor, and the ball hit her finger and bent it back. She broke her finger. First thing I'm thinking is, what do I do? I actually had surveillance cameras, so I had proof it was caused by a ball. And then it was, do I call my lawyer? And then where do I go? It's devastating. Kyle had a dog run around him with a leash, and the girl let go of the leash, and the dog ran and caused burns on his legs. It's like,
what are they
going
to say?
So I called Dr. John Wozner, and I, you know, you think of sending them to school that way that you're going to be accused. You know, yeah. It changes your life.
You become hypervigilant.
Yes.
And again, any situation, does it stay in proportion to what it really is, or does it jump into something?
I'm probably overthinking, but I'm being overprotective.
That's all right. And in terms of things like, dealing with teachers at school, the kids' activities, was Beata taking the lead in a lot of those?
She did. Yes, she did. She was very you know, she monitored their grades, which I do as well, but I am so blessed that both children are very good achievers.
Let me ask you something about Maya. Was there a time, it may still be, where she did what you felt was maybe overstudying, spending so much time in there?
I don't believe she's that way anymore. She is gifted. She's very smart. She don't need to study as much as she thought. She's in the dual enrollment, so she's doing high school and college. She'll graduate with the associate's degree from the high school.
What about before, like right after she got out?
She was the school and getting better. That was her goal.
Mm-hmm. Hours a day.
Hours and hours.
Mm-hmm. And so then, without a mother figure in y'all's lives, are there a number of different tasks, good or bad, fun or not, that Beata took care of? I'm thinking of things like getting the kids clothes, setting up appointments, haircuts, all of that. Who did that in the family?
Yeah, she did, along with the bills and everything else.
So she took care of the bills?
Yes.
And in terms of driving the kids to different things, did you split that? Was that more you or was that her?
It was split, or they were going two different directions. You know, one might have went to gymnastics, Kyle going to soccer. So, yeah, you had to split the task.
Right. Can't do that anymore.
No.
Have you noticed that the kids are showing a little bit less interest in some areas of life that they should have really before loved?
Yes.
Like what? Tell us about it.
Well, they don't want to be involved with any activities. They're both doing online school now.
That's what I was asking.
Yeah.
Did they make it a big deal to not have to go in to school and face the kids?
Yes. That was a big part of it, and then the legal issue here. You know, we were supposed to be in court 16 months ago, so we placed Kyle into the Florida virtual so he wouldn't get behind.
Okay.
And we just kept him in that position because
so neither kid has been going to, I guess, regular high school for how long?
It's well over a year, maybe a year and a half, 2 years almost now.
Mm-hmm. What about things like just somebody to talk to? Have you developed any friendships that in any way replace any part of what you had with Beata?
I will never replace what I had, you know, and every night when I lay in bed and roll over, I don't have somebody to hug and kiss and say goodnight. Mm-hmm. I can look down at her urn and I say a prayer instead, and it crushes you.
And nobody to then sort of talk things out, issues, problems for the family?
No. And a lot of times I hear their fear and anger, and I try to be the tough one, because if they see me sink, they sink type.
Sure.
So when I do get in bed sometimes, I let it out and cry.
Well, is that stressful for you then, to be the one that has to keep it all together by yourself?
I have to.
What about thoughts of what would happen if anything happened to you?
That immediately when after Beata's passing, I thought of that and did a trust. And, you know, God forbid something happened, I asked my oldest daughter to take care of him.
Well, you're a bit of an older dad. How old are you?
62.
62. How old were you when you had Maya and Kyle?
I don't remember. 50s? minus 8, 17.
So. All right. So as you get older, is it concerning you whether you'll be able to physically and mentally keep up with them as they mature and have more challenges in life?
I try my best to stay healthy. Just the other day I had a sinus infection. I do have my doctor's note for you, Judge. I went in there and they took my blood pressure, and she mentioned that it was high, and she did it in the other arm. And she says, do you ever realize you have high blood pressure? I never knew it.
So there's nobody really there without Beata to monitor your health?
No.
Would you go to the doctor? Like most guys, I guess you don't go to the doctor unless she's nobody
not after
you.
What we went through. It's not something you want to do as much, which I need to. And I need to do something about the PTSD as well.
Tell us about that. Is it?
I don't know if there's a place called My Warrior's Place in Ruskin, Florida.
Uh-huh.
It was started from a woman. She lost her son in the war. And for her to grieve, she opened this up to military, police, fire. Uh-huh. And it's a retreat, and I would love to start going there and try to
and
get some help.
Hopefully you get to the point where you can function well. Do you have any goals about making sure this kind of thing doesn't happen anymore?
Yes.
All right. What do you want to do?
Your Honor, would you like to approach on this?
More live courtroom coverage of the Take Care of Maya trial from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today is coming up. Press subscribe now.
Normally in these ads, you expect somebody to ask you to buy something, but this is something different. I'm Julian Barnes, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm a national security reporter, and that means I'm reporting on military operations. These are fast-paced, quickly moving situations. What exactly is happening on the ground is often shrouded in mystery, but we turn to trusted sources, satellite imagery, and expertise built up over years in order to ferret out the facts that wouldn't otherwise come to light. I'm here to ask you to seek out a news source that does firsthand fact-based reporting. If it's your local paper, great. If it's The Times, thank you. Because where you go for your information matters.